Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the eyes of God, the eyes of the Lord. And let me ask you, do you think that God has eyes? Do you think He sees? And if so, how much? How much does God see? Does He see everything that goes on in the earth? Or a little? How much does He see? And how does that affect us? How would that change our lives if we had this knowledge of God, that He actually sees everything, even that things that go on in secret places? How would that change what you do, what you say, what you have in your house, and such things? Let's talk about the eyes of God, the eyes of the Lord today, and see what God would teach us about that here in His book, the Bible. And what does God say to us then about the eyes of the Lord? Because you know what? A lot of people have heard of this. Not many people believe it. And those who believe might not take it seriously enough. But God says, all Christians, this is very important, super important. Take these things to heart. And it's for our good and encouragement. So let's take a look at the eyes of the Lord together. What can we say of that? First off, let's just talk about eyes in general. Our own eyes. Our eyes are amazing, aren't they? We got five senses. You know, we got touch, hearing, smell, etc., and such things, tasting, and all those. Our favorite of the five is usually our sight, right? It's just fantastic. I mean, what we can do with our eyes, these organs right here, that we can see the world, all that's around us. We can see danger coming and run away from it. We can see good pleasure and run to it. We can see the sea, how beautiful it is. We can see mountains and forests. We can see the stars and the moon or a rainbow, how beautiful that is. We can see our house, which we like. We can see our dog or whatever. We can see our children and their faces. We can see our husband or our wife and how beautiful it is. What a gift of God that we can actually see. Amen? So beautiful. And our eyes are so amazingly designed. Super designed. You know, if you have cones and rods, you ever heard of that? It's not an ice cream cone. I mean, these are things in your eye to receive the light and to be able to see. And you have, let's see, 130 million rods in your own eye. You have 7 million cones. And according to Wikipedia anyway, you can see 10 million different colors. I don't know if I can see that money, but Wikipedia says I can. Eyes are absolutely amazing. When I'm looking at you guys, I see you upright. But actually, in my eye, it goes in and reverses, so you're actually upside down in the back of my eye. Then my brain turns you around and makes you right side up. It's amazing how God's put us together. And not only that, physically, but think about how, well, like Emerson said, the eyes are the windows to the soul. Isn't that true? Think about it. You can see kindness in eyes or hatred in eyes. My eyes change. You can see excitement or you can see disinterest. You can see pride or you can see humility in eyes. You can see confidence or you can see fear. You can see joy or you can see sorrow. You can see light in eyes and darkness. You can see life and death in someone's eyes without them even saying a word. Amen? I was at near Walmart one time, came to a stopping light, and I heard behind me, you all had this experience, I'm sure, where even like a mile away you hear, and a car, you know, tinted windows or whatever, comes next to me and comes to the stoplight and just booming out the bass of some raucous music, right? I look over into his eyes and the guy turns and looks at me with this kind of an eye. What was that eye? It was an evil eye. He had the eye, really, of stone cold death, I'll tell you. It looked like the guy could kill me and not bat an eyelash. Darkness, death. But you know, you also see light in people's eyes. Sometimes I'm on the boat and I'm a Christian, and they'll say, I'm a Christian too, after talking for a while. They say that to me, and I'm like, you didn't need to say that. I could see the light of Christ in your eyes. Can't you see the light of Christ in people's eyes? So all these things, the eyes are the windows of the soul, and you can see they're so amazing in so many ways. Now that's the eyes of man. But now let's talk about the eyes of God. Do you think God has eyes? Does he actually see? If so, how much? Well, the first answer to that is unbelievers say God doesn't see. You know, that's their trademark, basically. Namely, we can do things in secret, in dark places, hidden away in the shadows. God will never see it. And that's their trademark. Belief. If you think of it, look it over here in the scripture, Psalm 10. It says, in the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments, God's, are on high, out of his sight. He thinks in his heart, I shall not be moved. Through all generations I won't mend adversity. And then it says, he thinks in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. And that is true for unbelievers, that they don't believe that God sees everything that they do. They hold fast to their evil purpose, Psalm 40:64. I'm being dyslexic again. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see us? Who can search out our crimes? We've thought out a cunningly conceived plot. No one will ever find out, say the wicked. So they don't think God sees the things that are in the world. They believe that they can do things in secret, hidden, and get away with them and not be found out or called to account, because after all, God does not see. Isn't that true? And if God does see, they'd say, well, he sees some things, maybe the overall picture, but we can still get into cracks where he can't see us. Like Jonah, run away in a boat. God won't find me there. And I'll be able to do things in secret and not be found out. So that's the wicked. God does not see. Let me ask you a question now. Do you think God, do you think you see that in the world? That people don't think God sees what they're doing? I'm looking at the news. You know, you see all the time, it seems, over the last number of years, people's computers crash. And emails are lost as soon as a subpoena arrives on their desk and says, hand them over. I'm thinking about the IRS. Remember in 2009 when they were targeting Christian groups and Tea Party groups and conservative Christian groups? And they're not supposed to do this. They were going after Christian groups and using the IRS to go after them. And just as they got caught at that and a subpoena arrives, hand them over. What does the head of the IRS say? Oh, sorry, our computer crashed last night and 24,000 of them, they're gone. We can't recover them. Sorry. And he says, we haven't done anything wrong. Do you believe that? We've heard of a lot about emails crash, computers crashing, emails being obliterated. As soon as the subpoena arrives on the desk, gone they are. How convenient. What a coincidence. They're all gone like that. Something was done in the dark that they didn't want to see done bring and come to the light. So you see it in politics, and that's been the same through the centuries. People doing things in the dark, they say, God doesn't see. How about in businesses? You see that? People do shady business deals, illegal insider trading, use dishonest means to get money and gain, crush their neighbor. They're doing things in secret. They don't think God sees. They won't be called to account. That's why they do them. Churches, you see that with false preachers and pastors and such, priests who've done things in the dark, thinking we're never going to be found out. It'll never come to light. They don't think God sees. And then certainly people all over, individuals, do deeds in the dark. You know, behind closed doors, as Martin Luther said, some people are a saint abroad and a sinner and the devil at home. You know, out in the public's eye, it's one thing, but down behind closed doors, in their homes, they abuse their spouses, use harsh words, speak evil of other people, gossip. Some commit sex outside of marriage, adultery, or look at pornography, swear, cuss, and do any dishonest thing. Is there anything dishonest that goes on in your home that you wouldn't like to come to the light? Well, people don't think that God sees. They think you can do things in the dark. Is that true? You know, look even back to Adam and Eve, right? These guys have all should have known. They're walking around naked in the Garden of Eden. they think they can sin and God won't find them out. And then when they do sin and they hear God coming, what do? Hide in the bushes as if they can get away from God? Are they crazy? Who are they think they're kidding? God knew exactly where they were. So people say God doesn't see. That's the belief. And even if he does see, well, he's not 20/20. He needs LASIK vision. He needs surgery because some things he sees, some things he misses, so we can do things in the dark and get away from them. And that's the belief of the world. And probably we've, in some sense, at times thought that too. God doesn't see everything. But now let's let God tell us about his eyes that we may know the truth and be encouraged by taking it to heart. So, does God have eyes? What do you think? Where am I going with this? You know, Psalm 94. They pour out arrogant words, all the evildoers. They crush God's people and afflict his heritage, slaying the wicked and sojourner and murdering the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. So there it is again, right? What's the next line? God answers and he says, understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? In other words, if I can put that into the vernacular, God is saying, are you guys crazy? I created eyes, and you don't think I see? Are you nuts? Seriously? God created eyes. Amazing, we all got them. Of course, he sees. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both, says Proverbs. And God found Hagar in the wilderness. Remember, she thought she was all by herself. Oh, I'm all alone, forlorn, afflicted. God will never find me. I'm all alone in life. The angel of the Lord found her by the spring of the wilderness. He knew exactly where she was. He says, return to your mistress and serve her. And she called the name of the Lord, thou art a God of seeing. Let me ask you, is there any place on earth that you can go and God doesn't see you? Can you get on a ship and sail away to Tarshish like Jonah and not be found? God says, Jonah, I know right where you are. I'm watching you. God sees everything. He sees where we are. The wicked say, who can see us? Who can search out our crimes? We've thought out a cunningly conceived plot. But one of the next lines, God says, but I will shoot my arrow at them and they'll be wounded suddenly. In other words, I see these things and therefore I shoot my arrow because I saw what you did. They were not hidden from me. So say this now after me. God sees.
God sees.
Say it again. God sees.
God sees.
God sees.
God sees.
He sees. Now, what are God's eyes like? Think about that. My eyes are blue. Yours are brown, Zuleika. Others are green. What are God's eyes look? What do they look like? Revelation 19, we see here of Jesus. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Picture that, would you? A flame of fire. His eyes are pure, Habakkuk chapter 1. Pure than to look on evil. Not that he can't see evil, but he despises it. His eyes, it says in Zechariah 4, these seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth. Where can you go where God's eyes aren't? They're ranging daily, like the picture there on the cover of the bulletin, ranging through the earth, searching, seeking out, observing all things. His eyes, we read in Psalm 4:11, it says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates him that loves violence. So what are God's eyes doing? Is he looking into you right now? He's here in this room. Do you think he sees us? You think he's looking on all of us right now? And what is he seeing? Just the outward appearance of things? He's looking and penetrating into the heart. Who is this word getting into? He's searching all these things out, even the depths of our soul. And then he also tests us. He lets us go through hardships. And he wants to see, what is the character in this man's heart? And then this woman, will she hold fast my ways? Will he stray from me or hold fast my name in the midst of a trouble? He's testing. His eyes search at all times the depth of things. And they're full of justice. Because if a man turns to mediums and wizards, playing the harlot after them, God says, I'll set my face against that man. Think of his eyes looking like this. You know, squinty and looking for evil, for harm. But then we read in Genesis 6 that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, a great smile. God looked on him with favor. So let me ask you this question now. You with me? How much does God see? What do you think? What's your answer? A little? A lot? Everything? Nothing? How much does God see? Let's open up the Bible again. Let's turn to Proverbs 15. Psalms, Proverbs. Here we are. Proverbs 15, verse 3. You tell me now. You answer me. You give the answer. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. How much? Where is God's eyes? How much does he see? Like everything. He's everywhere at all times. There's not a place you can hide. God sits enthroned on the heavens, it says in Psalm 33. He looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Do you know that every deed you've ever done has been seen by the Lord? He sees it all. He keeps watch over lands. We read in the Bible that the promised land, Israel, is a land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Isn't that beautiful that he looks on this and he sends forth the rain on this part of the world? He has a special eye for that country. But he looks also over all the countries, says Scripture, sees them all. He looks over his people, Israel. He found them in a desert land and in a howling waste of wilderness. He encircled them and cared for him. He kept them as the apple of his eye. What's the apple of your eye? That's the very center, the center part of your eye, the pupil. God keeps his people as the very center of his eye. You want to go up and poke somebody in the eye? What would they do to you? Pop, right? Well, go ahead and try touching God's people. What's God going to do? Pop. He keeps them as the apple of his eye. He sees all the ways of the wicked, says Scripture. It says, why does the wicked say, renounce God and say, he will not call me to account? Yea, he sees. He notes trouble and vexation, that he may take it into his hands to break the arm of the wicked and evildoer and seek out his wickedness till he finds none. So all the evil that's done in the world, does God see it? Say yes.
Yes.
He does. He sees all these things, every last one of them. And he also sees those who fear his name with a special, beautiful eye. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Now, let's say I see a picture of Naomi's class, and there's like, let's say, 50 kids, okay, her school or something. Who am I searching out in that picture? Who do you look for when you see a picture? It's just like, who would you look for in your kid's picture? You look for your kids. Your eye is for them. And you want to protect them and run after them and help them. Of course, you're going to help everybody, especially your kids. God's eyes, think about this, are on you in that special way, that he may deliver your soul, keep you, bring you through and bring you out on the other side. He sees even to secret places. Has there ever been a time in your life when God's not looked at you? The Bible says, even in the womb of your mom, God saw you. It says in Psalm 139, your frame wasn't hidden from him when you were being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of that earth of your mom's womb. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. Ooh, think about that. God just looking in there, knitting you together. His eyes were upon you. And then even behind closed doors, for his eyes are on the ways of man. He sees all his steps. There's no gloom or darkness where evildoers may hide themselves, says Job 34. He looks and he looks on the earth and he sees what? Just the outward appearance of things? Yes, that's what he looks like. That's what we see, right? You're wearing a yellow shirt and you look good today. Is that what he sees? Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, God said to Samuel. But the Lord sees, not as a man sees. The man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. His eyes are x-ray vision. Remember Superman? And Lois is like, well, what am I wearing under this? And he's like, I can't see through lead. Oh, he's like, oh, pink. You know, I can see, but God is so much better. He sees in the depths of our souls. He's looking and searching out our hearts, the deepest places and recesses of them, to see what's in there. That's why Jesus could say, don't look at a woman with adulterous eyes, for then you've committed adultery in your heart. God sees that. And women should seek after the imperishable jewel of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight, in his eyes, is very precious. So he loves, and he's looking at your heart. That's what he's after. Good looking, bad looking, whatever. He's looking at the inner beauty is what he's looking for. So let me ask you a question. See if you're with me here. How does all this make you feel? That you are open before him. You know, the Bible says that the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you know that when God looks forth on all of you today, you're not even wearing clothes, you're naked before him? He sees, namely, into the depths of your heart and your soul. If that's true for evil people, how much more for the righteous God who created the eye? We stand naked before him. Let's talk about how this changes us for the better, though. Number one, this knowledge that God sees is super because, number one, it makes you better than the wicked. Because they don't think God sees anything. They're going to go hide and do their stuff. But God sees, that makes you better because you are living now in the light of his eyes and the truth. And what does this do for you? It turns you aside from evil. By the fear of the Lord, a man departs from evil. Now, you watch these cameras, you know, and super convenience stores. If someone doesn't think they're seen, how do they act? Wickedly. As soon as they realize they're on camera, everybody starts acting right, right? Well, when we know that God sees us, it helps us to turn aside from evil. Now, when I was in Maine years ago, and we didn't have any money, and I was working at a yacht club, I thought one night, I was like, look at all these recyclable things they're throwing away. And I was too embarrassed to ask if I could take the cans and make money off of them, because I threw a whole bunch away. So I decided one night, I would go over there when nobody else is at the yacht club, and I would take those cans, which are thrown away anyway, put them in bags, put them into my car, and I'll take them in and make some money so we can eat and stuff. I took all those cans right here, put them in a bag, put them in my car, and then what happens? My heart struck me. Because I'm like, you know, God sees what I'm doing. Why am I doing something in the dark here? Why don't I just ask them if I really want these things? These aren't mine to take and do whatever I want with. And so what did I do? Because I knew God was seeing me, I actually returned all those cans. And I poured them back into the garbage can. And I said, I'm not going to do that. Because it's just plain not right. Now, you'd probably think that's just insignificant. It's trivial. What are you talking about, Pastor? It's no big deal. But you know what? It is a big deal to God that you act in the light. Don't do anything in the dark that you wouldn't want to be seen in the light doing. And the Bible says, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous things, mammon, who will entrust you true riches? God looks for faithfulness in the little. So, let me ask you a question then. Is there anything in your life right now that you're doing that you'd be ashamed if God was looking at you and was standing, I got a ruler here, 1 foot away. It's my 1 foot away rule. Is there anything in your life that you would get rid of? Anything in your house that you would be like, it's out of here? Any words that you're saying towards other people, you'd be like, I won't say that. You know why we should listen to the one ruler, one 12-inch rule? It's because he really is right there seeing these things. So this is super knowledge, because the first great thing is it gets rid of evil. It'll push evil out of your life because you won't want to do it if you know that God is sitting there looking at you. If you want to know if something's right or wrong, just know the truth. Picture this. God is 1 foot away. Would I be doing this? Second thing is, this really encourages you, because sometimes we look around at the world and we're like, man, all these wicked people, they're doing all these things and they're never getting called to account. They're getting away with it. And we can get discouraged about justice. God says, don't you be discouraged about justice. I see everything that's going on the earth. I am writing all these things down in books. God says in Revelation 20, everything that's done, it's being written down, watched. Every careless word uttered, Jesus says, it's written. And there is a day of judgment coming. Don't think that the wicked are getting away with stuff just because they're getting away with stuff. God's got it written down. He's seen it. There is justice in the earth. Which brings us to point number three is be encouraged. Because when you know that God is looking at you at all times, we don't only run away from evil, we run towards the good. Because we think he's watching me. He's a rewarder of those who seek him, even of deeds done in secret. So let's go. I want to run toward those things that are good. Jesus says, when you give alms, when you pray, don't do these things outwardly to be seen by men. Do them in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does that make you want to run to good in your life, even in the secret times when nobody's around? God sees in secret. He will reward you. That's an encouragement. And then also, think about this. Number four, fourth encouragement is that you're never alone. You know, so many times in life we're suffering trials, tribulations. We feel all alone, like, God, where are you? Am I all alone? Nobody cares for me. And God says, don't you know that I see you? Every hair in your head is numbered. There's not a place you can run away from me. If you go in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there I see you, and my right hand will lead you and uphold you. I see when you sit down. I see when you rise. I discern your thoughts from afar. I know everything about you. You're not alone. Super important for us. Therefore, Job could say, when he was suffering super troubles, he said, but he knows the way that I take. And when he's tried me, when he's done forth finishing his tests of me, I shall come forth as gold. Say that. I shall come forth as gold. He sees everything. You are not going through it alone. God's eyes are with you, and his eyes run to and fro throughout the earth to show his might on behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him. He's looking for you. He's going to lift you up just like Zuleika, you'd run to your children. God runs to you to lift them up, to lift you up when you're in trouble. Don't be afraid. And the final thing I'll say today is this. Super, super important. When God looks on you, and you're naked, and you're exposed, and you're open, what might he see? Sin, right? But you know what? When God looked down on us, and he saw our sin, and he saw our rebellion, and that we were prisoners to evil and death, God, with his eyes, didn't look on us in anger and scorn to destroy us. But his eyes, picture it, filled with water, water of a steadfast love, where he said, I'm going to run down to earth in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to rescue them from their sins. I'm going to crush the devil. I'm going to break free their chains, and I'm going to burst them forth into new life, forgiveness of their sins through Christ and his cross and resurrection, and I'm going to make them a new people. So when God looks on you today, what does he see? He says, your sins, I see them. But I see them like this. They've been cast far away into the depths of the sea, as it says in Micah. When I look on you, I see a chosen race, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, my own possession. When I look on you, I see a new creation. The old that you used to be, it's gone. It's forgotten. The new has come. I look on you covered in the robe of my son's righteousness. And I look on you as destined to be my child in heaven and to rule with me forever and ever. You are kings, God says. Isn't that beautiful? These are his eyes. You may hate yourself when you look in the mirror, but when God looks on you, through Christ, in Christ, he sees glorious things and loves you for the work that he's doing inside of you. So rejoice in that today. He who touches you is touching the apple of God's eye. Don't touch the apple of God's eye. Well, David says, keep us as the apple of your eye. Hide us in the shelter of your wings. Let God's eyes encourage you, because they're ever running to take care of you, ever seeing, ever seeking, ever testing, ever growing you, ever judging, ever rewarding you, ever saving you, and ever loving you. God's eyes are upon you, so let our eyes then be ever upon him with love as he loves us, so that we can say with Job, and I'll end with this. Our eyes, I know that my Redeemer lives. At the last he'll stand upon the earth, and after my skin has thus been destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and not another.